Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 300 and something or other.
396.
We're
so old.
We're as old as things that are nearly 400.
I know.
Unbelievable, right? When you think about it that way.
Name one thing that's almost 400.
I can't. Nothing else is 400 except for us. Wow. I have a quiz for you.
Yeah.
It's July still.
Christmas in July?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I've watched two new things. One very new. One a bit new, but new to me. Maybe like a few months old, maybe.
Yeah, I've just done something similar.
Very similar.
I've watched two things. Yeah. One new.
Yeah.
One is not new, but it does have a new season.
Oh, okay. I like that there. Because sometimes that kind of thing allows you to alert people.
Mm.
Like, hey, I've watched the new season. Did you forget that that was a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, I see no reason not to get into this thing that I like to call the
Nils. For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Yeah? It was okay?
Yeah, I really like the ending of it.
It's nice to do different things, yeah. You know, mix it up a little bit. Mix it up a little bit. We never talk about it, but we're going to now. Marvel stuff.
Oh.
Marvel Studios boss Kevin Feige has said he reckons the best way to deal with superhero fatigue is just to make less of it. It's kind of sensible.
So clearly his job is not in jeopardy.
No, because if they're like, oh, if we make less, we don't have to spend as much and people won't get as sick of us as quickly.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, yeah, okay.
We shall take longer to do things.
That's how we're going to do it. He said making two or three movies a year. Some years it will be one, some years it will be three. And we'll be down to a single live action show that will be on Disney Plus a year. He even spoke about Superman, which is not Marvel. Superman is DC. And they've got a new Superman movie out at the moment, which is going really well at the box office. And he said, look at Superman. It's clearly not superhero fatigue, which kind of makes me think.
It's Marvel fatigue.
He accidentally.
Oh, he shot himself
admitted.
In the foot.
Mm. But Marvel Universe is the only franchise in the world that has made a $31 billion profit.
Yeah, it's amazing. But also Marvel World fits perfectly into the idea of the theme parks.
Totally
when they
right.
sit under the Disney umbrella.
Totally.
Like how much more exciting would a Marvel roller coaster be than
just a roller coaster?
A Winnie the Pooh one.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer the Winnie the Pooh
one.
Yeah, me too. That one sounds less scary. You
I'm
know?
Not going on either of them.
They just sound frightening. Lacey Chabert and Andrew Walker. Now, he's a bloke who's been in quite a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies. You'd know his face if you've watched those kind of Christmas movies. They're going to be in a new one and it's called She's Making a List.
They I love it.
It's a good name, right?
Yes.
It's a really fun name. They were in another one in about 2018 called My Secret Valentine. So I think this might be their first Christmas movie together.
Fun.
Yeah. The movie, it's in production now, which is obviously why they're talking about it, but it's Lacey's 16th Hallmark Christmas movie. Isn't that funny?
You're on a winner.
Yeah.
Clearly we're not getting Lacey Christmas fatigue.
No, that's not possible. People will go back and watch the one from 2018 in the lead up to this new one. This one, do you want to hear the spiel from it?
Yeah.
When naughty or nice Inspector Isabel Haynes is assigned to evaluate mischievous 11-year-old Charlie Duncan, she expects a routine case. On what, though? But anyway, I'll just go
in love with the dad.
I reckon. Ready? Okay. Yeah. You're right. But things get complicated when Isabel unexpectedly falls for Charlie's widowed father.
Yes, I got it.
Jason Duncan. What a Hallmark name.
Yeah.
And begins to question the rigid rules of her job. As Christmas approaches, Isabel must choose between following the Christmas algorithm.
She does.
or following her heart?
Bet you she follows her heart.
What? Come on, spoiler. So we can expect that as part of, I think they do like the days of Christmas leading up to it. Like yeah. they'll start. Do they start in November?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get through everything if you just pick it in December. Exactly.
Yeah, you got to.
Come on, Leah, stop acting like you're
a novice. Excuse me, that's exactly what I did last year. I think it was mid-November and I was like, I'm going for it. I'm starting.
Yeah, doing it. I don't care.
This is it.
Pass your judgment this way. I don't
Couldn't care.
Couldn't
care less.
Scrooge. Grinch.
Actually, I've got a Samsung TV and it's been recently saying, do you want to watch Jingle All the Way? I'm like, excuse me, why? And I went, ah, Christmas in July.
And yes, I will.
Yeah, I haven't yet, but I will for sure. Ubisoft and Netflix have had a chat and they've decided they will actually make that live-action Assassin's Creed TV show that they've been talking about for years.
But only one season because Netflix will count it.
Exactly. Ubisoft, what are you doing teaming up with them? So they've got a bloke called Robert Pattino who is behind Westworld and David Wiener who is behind Fear the Walking Dead and Halo. Anyway, they're going to be the project co-creators, showrunners, executive producers. Now, back in 2020, Netflix announced that they were going to do the show then, but then those showrunners, went away. And then in 2022, they said, hey, we've got a different showrunner. And then that guy dropped out. So now it's 2025 and the official word says Assassin's Creed's live action series is a high octane thriller centered on the secret war between two shadowy factions, one set on determining mankind's future through control and manipulation, and the other fighting to preserve free will. The series follows characters across pivotal historical events as they battle to shape humanity's destiny. Now, I've played two Assassin's Creed, and I can tell you, I wanted as little to do with the modern world and I was in the simulation. In fact, I actively refused to acknowledge the fact that it was a simulation. I was like, I am a pirate. I am a Viking in Britain. Yes,
this
I am.
This is what I want. Just stop.
That's it. And whenever there were little things that were about, oh, this is a simulation, I was like, I'm walking the other way. In fact, I was walking away from the simulation in my life. Do you want to talk about some things that we've been watching?
Yeah, I really do.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Do you want to go first?
Okay.
Talk about that series that you've been watching.
Okay.
Didn't even talk about
mine's
beef
gone.
Bourguignon.
Mine has gone.
Beef casserole.
It went down the hatch as fast as I could.
I'll eat mine whilst you...
So I'm going to start with my lowbrow one.
Okay.
Not my good one.
Okay.
I watched NYC Next Gen. So it's a reality show. And the title truly just explains everything. So it is...
Is it like The Real World?
No. Okay. It's like... it's like Housewives.
Oh, okay.
Slash, what could I just, maybe not quite Summer House, Winter House, because not as much partying. But let's just say it's wanting the Housewives idea, but giving it to the next generation. Now, not just the cast is next generation. They're targeting to the audience of the next generation.
So it's They're people that were in the...
Well, that's the funny thing. So obviously they're the up-and-comers, the big movers and shakers in Gen Z of New York City. So you've got some, you know, trust fund babies. You've got ones who, you know, are successful models, making their name on TikTok, things like that. But you do have, let me just get this, I think it's three children... of Real Housewives. None of them are New York City Housewives children.
But they've moved to New York.
They've all moved to New York.
I've got a lot of time for
now,
this setup.
That 100% is the draw card because the rest of them, you just kind of go, I don't care if you're a trust fund baby.
But everything until before you said Housewives, I was painting a picture. I was like, this sounds like an early 2000s, early to mid 2000s MTV show that we would have watched.
It does, but it's really got the Bravo spin on it. You know, they come together. Some of them know each other. Some of them don't. There's a fight about something ridiculous really quite early on. Then there is, you know, a trip away. There's more arguments.
Oh, it's Housewives.
You know, it's Housewives. What's really interesting, though, is New York City Housewives, Roni, was permanently cancelled, put on pause, because they did a reboot.
I knew that, didn't I?
Yeah, the reboot lasted two seasons and people just didn't pick it up because we would like Ramona, Countess Luann and Sonia. We want the train wreck, right?
What was that song called? Elegance is wasted, my friend. Yeah, that was her, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me sing it.
You're welcome. We wanted them, so the new reboot just didn't work.
Yeah,
and what's interesting is that this NYC Next Gen, which is not Housewives, I'm putting it out there, it's not Housewives, they blew the old Roni out of the water in terms of ratings.
Oh.
But if I can give you the draw card that some of us in my generation might like is the children who are of the Housewives. So they've clearly been on the show. Some of them when they were really young children, some of them only the last couple of years.
Do you remember them?
Yeah, 100%, all of them. They are on a different level. They understand it. They're not vying for the attention. They've lived it. They know what their job is and they do it really well. So the kids who are there is the son of one of the Real Housewives from Salt Lake City, Meredith. Her son is on there who appeared in some of the seasons. He's a wannabe fashion designer.
Okay.
There is from Atlanta, there are two. One who is Candy Burgess's daughter.
Yeah.
And the other one who is Kim
Zolciak, whatever. The blonde one.
The blonde one. Now, what's interesting about those two is they were best friends when they were kids because of the show and because of their mums. Their mums had a falling out and so they haven't seen each other for a good 10 plus years.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. And then the last one is Teresa Giudice's daughter, Gia.
I was going to ask if it was one of those.
Who has been around since the beginning of Jersey. Now,
how old is she now?
Oh, mid-20s? 22?
Yeah,
20, okay. Yeah. They're all in their early 20s.
Yeah.
It's very evident that they're Gen Z. But what's interesting about Gia, and this is a bit of behind the scenes thing, Teresa, her mum, has recently just gone through a lot of scandal and
face.
Tax fraud. Oh, yeah, face, yeah. Like, she doesn't look like herself at all. But tax fraud for, I think, the second time. And Bravo has gone, we're out. We do not want to be associated with you whatsoever. So she's been pulled. Teresa has.
Okay.
They also pulled her daughter from this show.
Oh, really?
And Teresa ain't happy about it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I'd love a little behind the scenes gossip.
That makes it better.
Yeah. Now, while I watched the first one or two episodes and I thought, I can't cope with this, and I think it's the generational gap because they're exhausting, I pressed play again and kept it going while I was doing things and I got into it.
Okay.
So I think they relaxed, and that's probably what happens a lot in reality shows is the first few episodes, they're tragically.
Especially now. You know, like we were talking a while ago about Big Brother and nobody knew what it was and people who were a bit out there got in there, right?
Yeah.
And we all watched them and they didn't know if anybody was watching them, but now they know they're watching.
Yeah.
They know they've got an audience.
And that's how you win. Yeah, that's how you stay.
That's right. Interesting.
Anyway, interesting.
Is it sort of like I don't want to have to use my brain, going to watch this
100%,
tonight?
100%. Yeah, okay. But I think I might be done.
Okay, that's fine. There's so many other things to watch.
Mm.
Yeah. I watched a movie that's coming out on the 24th. That's Thursday, right?
Mm.
Okay, it's coming out today as of the release of this episode. It's called Four Letters of Love. It's an Irish film. It's got Pierce Brosnan, Helena Bonham Carter, Gabrielle Byrne, and a couple of other faces. One of them I was like, Where's he from? And the answer is Wheel of Time.
Yep.
Anyway, it's set around the 1960s, I think, maybe the 50s or 60s. And the main character, his father, who is Pierce Brosnan, has got like one of those normal sort of, I'm in the 1960s, this is my office job, jobs.
Yep.
And one day he
carry a briefcase.
Exactly. He sees like a bit of sunlight on his desk at work and he's like, oh, this is a calling from God. I have to be an artist. Mm. I have to get up right away, walk out of this office forever and pursue a career in painting. His wife's like, are you freaking serious? He's like, yes, I am. I'm going to do it for you and the son. And he says, but I have to go. I'm going to wander around the beautiful wilderness of Ireland shores on the coast. I'll see you soon. She does not cope well mentally with that.
Yeah.
And things don't go great. And then that story progresses a little bit. I don't want to give too much away with that one. Whilst all of that is happening, Helena Bonham Carter is married to Gabrielle Byrne and they have got two teenage sort of early 20s mm-hmm. children. One of them has an accident, kind of like a stroke.
Oh.
Yeah, like shockingly. This is towards the beginning of the movie, so I'm not giving too much away. Anyway, there's a little bit of magic, a little bit of coziness, a bit of tragedy, a fair bit of tragedy, but I really liked it. It was actually feel good in the end. And it felt like it was a book. You know those books mm-hmm. that are a bit magical? They're usually set in Scotland or Ireland or one of those sort of places where they have those – I mean, there were no fairies in this, but they have that kind of, you know, that old fairies or magic exists yeah. kind of thing within the culture. There's a lot of Gaelic in here as well, which is really cool, very nice. I mean, obviously you get the subtitles, but it's just lovely to hear it.
Yeah.
And people – I mean, not Helena Bonham Carter, but people doing their actual accent.
That's what I was just about to ask you.
You're going to do the accent.
Yeah.
Yes, they were doing the accent. It's called Four Letters of Love. If you're looking for something cozy to go and see over the weekend at the movies, I'd go and do it. It'd be a good one to go on as like a Sunday afternoon
yes.
after you have had lunch with a friend or something and
yeah,
go and
nice.
Catch up and watch a movie together. Yeah. What else have you watched? The one that you liked.
Okay. I'm currently obsessed. I'm obsessed
oh
by this one.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Now, I'm late to coming into this, which I did mention. It has just released, I think, this fourth season, and there is talk of a fifth season coming
next year. Oh, my gosh, okay.
Year.
So you've jumped in.
I have jumped in. I'm currently in the third season, so I cannot comment about fourth season. But it is. But
it sounds like you've torn through.
Oh, my God, I can't stop. I love it.
Have to.
It's The Bear.
Oh,
you know
have
the bear?
You not watched that?
I've not watched it. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I haven't
watched
the new season. I haven't watched a new season
Did you watch
season,
the third
yep.
season?
Yes.
Well, now well, I'm just going to have to talk about it.
Well, it's been a while.
It's been a while. So it follows a Chicago family. I'd say it's more about a family than just an individual.
So it's the guy who looks Italian, but he's not.
The actor.
Yeah.
It's Jeremy Allen White.
Yeah.
He also looks like Marco Pierre White.
Oh, maybe that's why that's actually why they got him.
If somebody said that they're actually related, I would
yeah.
love that so much.
That would be really good.
So anyway, Jeremy Allen White's character, who's Carmi Bozzardo, he left Chicago to pursue a fine dining career as a chef and worked in New York.
Gonna make it.
Worked in Copenhagen in Noma, you know, the best restaurants in the world. And after a tragedy happened in his family, he came back to the family sandwich shop that his brother had owned.
But it's not like, oh, I'll have a chicken schnitzel sandwich. I'll just have a salad sandwich. Like it's a real sort of, I best way to put it would be an American sloppy sort of sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah, like those kind of pulled pork.
Yeah.
You know, dunk
like the juicy, juicy.
Yeah, juicy, juicy. And it seems to be an institution
yeah.
in the area. And I think what gets you the most is this family and the chefs at this family sandwich shop just scream at each other 24/7.
That's how they speak.
That's how they communicate mm-hmm. is dropping the F-bomb nonstop. until the end of service and they go, good job, mate.
You did a great job. And what about his cousin? Hey, cousin.
Yeah.
He was from Girls, which we were talking about like last week.
I know.
He was.
He's good.
Oh, gosh, what's her name? Alison. No. Was that the character's name? That he was girlfriend?
Oh, Alison, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the actress, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember the character's
name. Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue. Oh.
I'll find it. Anyway, so are you sort of?
I'm totally addicted. I think what gets you is it is so raw.
Mm.
It's got this real juxtaposition of some episodes.
Marnie.
Some episodes are so intense and the screaming and the noise and the, you can almost feel the heat, the physical heat from the burners in the kitchen. And then the next episode is completely different.
Yeah,
it's slow. It's quiet. There's not a lot happening. Mm. There's obviously a lot happening story-wise, but it is gripping.
Because they know that you're going to watch more than one episode at a time. Yeah. So giving you breather episodes. Also, can we just acknowledge Jamie Lee Curtis as the mother?
I know.
Insane.
Not only so good. Jamie Lee Curtis, like Sarah Paulson.
Yes.
Is in there as well. It has so many Olivia people Coleman. In them. Olivia Coleman.
Yeah, a couple of Oscar winners in there.
Talking about awards, The Bear has just received 14
oh my gosh,
Emmy nominations.
Insane.
14 just for this year. Talking over four seasons.
Just this year.
Just
Can
this
you
year.
Imagine if this was on Netflix? We never would have gotten to season four. They would have been nominated for.
I don't know if we would have 14. Gotten to season two. And season two is a pivotal change in the storyline. You learn so much more about the characters. Mm. And it really does make me think that this story was written for seasons in advance before they made season one because
you're probably right actually
like even the understanding of the bear comes about in season two.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you see this weird thing at the beginning where he's like up on a rooftop or something with the bear and then that's it.
Yeah. It is fabulous. If you are late to the party like me,
well, you're lucky, right? Because now you get all these episodes.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't have to stop. I can just keep going.
That's really nice.
I'm going to roll straight into season four and be hungry, pun intended, for season five.
Hungry like a bear. I watched something on Disney as well. I watched Call Her Alex because we were talking about, was it last week or the week before? You were talking about people on the internet or like people's algorithms only showing you a certain amount of things, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that there are people who are super, super famous on the internet, have millions of followers, make millions of dollars, are super successful, and you've never heard of them.
Mm.
You're like, how have I never? This was one of them. I've never heard of her, Alex Cooper, and her very popular podcast called Call Her Daddy. Never heard of it. And I thought, all right, I'm going to watch this. It was about her. It was about the lead up to her doing live show, live podcast program. Was it in Chicago, actually? Was the first one in Chicago? Mm-hmm. No, Boston, I think it was. And she was nervous. They were trying to get it all right. They were scripting it. And I'm like, if it was a podcast, right, where she's famous for not being scripted, I would find that really difficult if I were her to then have a scripted.
How do you make it sound natural?
Exactly. How do you make it sound like the thing that everybody listens to in their ears once a week?
That's hard. Those live interview type show, like stage shows of a podcast cast coming forward, they're hard because people have so much expectation riding on it.
I'd say the best one that I've seen would be My Dad Wrote a Porno.
I was just about to say
that. Yeah, I'd say that's probably the highlight.
And they went
Did
off
we see
the
them
grain.
Twice?
No, I think I only saw them once. But they went off the grain.
Yes, they did.
I did the little PowerPoint presentation, which
that was fun.
This is clever because otherwise it is just.
It is just a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one by the Serial people.
Nightgale.
No, yeah. Welcome to Night Vale was fun. It was too long.
It was long.
It was too long. It was really fun and then it was too long. No, the one by the Serial guys.
Yeah.
Where it was about a story and then suddenly it was about the guy. Oh, I can't remember what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was
interesting. I remember the twist at the end, but I can't say it.
Yeah, same, exactly. yeah, but that kind of was interesting because they were talking more about it and you wanted to know more about it.
So it was a true crime.
It was a true crime one, yeah. But it was interesting watching her. She was a very successful university football player, soccer player in America, and she had a bit of trouble with her coach and then, you know, she ended up leaving, just quitting and not playing football anymore. And she then, I mean, in this two-part documentary, you find out that other people also had problems with this, with this coach as well. And the fact that her and her two childhood friends would play soccer and then come home to her house, go down to the basement, and then just do stupid skits and videos for, you know, in front of a camera, which is exactly what she's doing. In fact, her producer is her childhood friend.
Yeah, nice.
It's really cool. I don't know anything about her. She seems nice. She seems driven. She seems show off enough to be in the spotlight. I don't know anything about her husband, but he seemed annoying. But maybe he's really nice. To me, it was just like, oh, let her do that.
Yeah.
He's like, good, but, you know, more like put the emphasis on the next syllable. And I was like, maybe this is what it's like in the podcast. Maybe he has that role and it's evolved. But for me, I was like, Stan, get off.
This is a documentary about her.
I don't know who you are. So I watched that and how many other people don't we know about?
Oh.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous amount.
We're never going to know.
And quite a few that we're probably glad we don't know about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Do you want to do a quiz?
Yes, I do. Lacey Chabert.
Chabert. Close. Real or fake Hallmark-style Christmas movie titles. We've done this before, but I thought might be time to bring it out again.
Is it the exact same questions?
No, new ones. Hot Frosty.
And that's true.
Yes, and it had her in it last year. But that one was for Netflix, which confused me.
Netflix are getting on it.
She mustn't be just contracted to Hallmark for Christmas stuff.
No.
Christmas in Walmart.
False.
Yeah. Jolly Jolly Love.
Oh, false.
Yes. Jolly Good Christmas.
True.
Yes, from 2022.
Really? I would have thought that'd be an old title.
Yeah, me too.
Because they're getting a bit more clever.
Sounds about 2016 to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming Home for Christmas.
Oh, that's true.
That's absolutely true. That's the one with Winnie Cooper in it from 2017.
Is that all Lindsay Lohan?
We're never going to know Winnie.
Or the girl from Full House.
Candace Bushnell? No.
Beck. I don't know.
Candace Cameron. A Carol Christmas.
A Carol Christmas? Mm. False.
No, it's true. It is from 2002.
Does it have the carols in it?
It's got Tori Spelling in
it. Tori Spelling. I want to watch that.
You're going to have to watch that. Not now, like obviously in November.
How are they going to get Donna Martin graduates in that? How?
If they do not reference that, I'm going to be livid. Wait, when did Beverly Hills
90210
finish? Maybe
she works at DMG.
when would you say Beverly Hills finished?
Was she in the reboot?
Oh, I don't care about that one.
I think it finished in 98.
17th of May 2000, so this is only a couple of years after. Mm. I think she was still in it, right? I think her and Brian Austin Green were in all of them.
Oh.
Maybe in Ian Ziering.
Was she disowned by her parents?
I think so. There was something weird about, them.
Well, she wasn't in the will and her mother wasn't giving up anything.
Mm. That was in her reality show called A Carol knows.
Tori does it.
Tori, no. Wait till your Tori gets home.
Tori Beverly's no longer.
Tori.
Storytelling. I think that's what it was.
Storytelling graduates. Stephanie, I want to thank you for everything that you've brought to this episode.
You're
and
welcome.
I look forward to more of it. No, not more of this episode. We're finished with this one.
We're done. On to new things.
Now I just have to say, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Donna Martin graduates. Donna Martin graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.